We're at the 2008 Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Convention and Trade Show here at the Midwest City Reed Center. And in the morning session, David Martusko, who is from Washington, D.C., had the opportunity to talk with the members of OCA about his battle against some of the animal rights groups, most notably PETA and the Humane Society of the U.S.
David, you, of course, had, a pretty good audience here at the OCA meeting.
Yes.
You kind of preaching to the choir as far as the need to fight back, but it seems like you've kind of taken a pretty aggressive stance toward dealing with, particularly with PETA and also with HSUS.
Well, somebody has to do it. At the end of the day, trade associations and producer groups are out there defending what they do and educating the public about the value of their product. But you've got a whole cottage industry of lunatic activists who are out there fighting dirty, and sometimes you have to fight fire with fire. So somebody has to be out there pushing back aggressively, relentlessly, and consistently, and that's what the Center for Consumer Freedom is here for.
Tell me about these various groups that you mentioned, starting with PETA.
Well, of course, PETA is our favorite lunatic asylum. This is a $30 million organization that does nothing but preach a hatred toward animal use industries. They are in it for one thing and one thing only, and they call it total animal liberation. That means you don't get to eat beef, you don't get to drink milk, you don't get to feed your children bacon and eggs, no zoos, aquariums, theme parks, hunting, fishing, leather, fur, silk, honey in your tea, and no medical research to cure cancer, AIDS, Parkinson's, and leukemia. This is what they want. In their perfect world, you literally would have no interaction with animals. That's a scary, scary prospect. And I think people often look at PETA and just kind of giggle and laugh at them and don't look seriously at what their vision for America looks like. It's a frightening vision, and we should be talking about it.
Well, it's real interesting. You seem to think that PETA almost is trying to set up some of these other groups to be more reasonable.
Sure. I think part of PETA's mission is to make groups like HSUS look reasonable by comparison. PETA goes out there and does the ridiculous stuff. They strip naked. They put their naked interns in a tiger suit or whatever, put them in a cage. And people say, oh, that's ridiculous. And along behind them comes the Humane Society of the U.S. in a starched shirt and a pinstripe suit and says, well, we're not PETA. And everyone says, oh, thank goodness, we can talk to you. That's a big mistake. They have the same agenda. They have the same goals. They're simply PETA with a nicer wristwatch. But they set up this whole idea where you think they're more reasonable. They're not.
Speaking of the HSUS, tremendous amount of money they have, a lot of resources.
Oh, my goodness. They raised $142 million last year, and most of it comes from people who mistakenly believe they're supporting their local animal shelter. HSUS, the Humane Society of the U.S., is a humane society in name only. They don't run a single dog and cat shelter. They're not affiliated with a single pet shelter anywhere, never have been. But they raise money as though they are. You know, I get these address labels in the mail with pictures of puppies and kittens on them. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. It's a huge deception. Somebody ought to take them to court for fraud. They raise tens of millions of dollars this way every year. But the money actually goes to lobby against farmers, producers, medical researchers. They just put $3.5 million into a ballot campaign to abolish cages for egg-laying hens in California. They're going to drive that entire industry out of the state. And that's money from people who thought they were helping find homes for abandoned dogs and cats. It's a huge flim-flam.
Now, in the case of the Humane Society of the U.S., you indicated that they've been pretty vocal about the abolition of animal agriculture as we know it.
In unguarded moments, some of their employees have been honest about what they want. You know, officially, you won't find that on their webpage. On their webpage, they say, oh, well, we're for kind, humane treatment of animals. We want to do away with abuse. But privately, when the cameras are off, they say, no, we want the same thing PETA wants. We want a vegan America. You know, we want you to be vegetarians, whether you like it or not. This is the same shtick that PETA's been pushing for 25 years. They're just doing it with a starched shirt and a pinstripe suit, and they're doing it with a calmer voice, and they're doing it with a lot of lobbying muscle.
You mentioned the Hallmark-Westmark situation.
Yeah.
Basically, you indicated that you've asked the same questions a lot of people have asked about why so long.
Well, they sat on that video for three and a half months because they wanted a politically opportune moment to unveil it. They didn't want to unveil it in 2007 because in California in 2008, they've got a ballot campaign going on that's about farm animals and livestock. They wanted the political connection. They wanted California voters to think about farm animal welfare, and they wanted to bring that message to the fore on a timetable that they liked. You know, it wasn't about the prosecutors asking them to wait. That's a nonsense story. We're actually calling for a perjury investigation in Congress about that. That's a big lie. You know, it wasn't about, animal welfare. They sat there for 3 months while some of these animals were probably being horribly mistreated. They should have done something about it. They should have gone to the USDA on day one. Not only didn't they do that, but they willfully kept the federal government in the dark for months. No good reason, unless you're basically an animal rights nut who wants to see the place shut down for good.
What's a farmer rancher? What they should be doing?
They should be, number one, they should be reading everything they can get their hands on about the Humane Society of the U.S. They should be educating their neighbors to tell them that when they get a direct mail circular from that organization that it should be used for kindling and they should never be returned, unless you want to put some a brick back in it and send it back to Washington. That'll cost them postage. That's a good thing. The number one thing they can be doing is just talking about how dangerous the Humane Society of the U.S. is. We need public awareness. And come visit us at consumerfreedom.com. We've got the goods on this group. We are the number one pushback organization against the animal rights movement right now in this country. And the more support we have, the more the Humane Society of the U.S. is up at night sweating, wondering if their agenda is going to hold water.
Does pushback work?
Oh, pushback always works. Negative works. Just ask John Kerry in his swift boats. Pushback works, negative works. That's why everybody does it, at least the smart ones.